Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 20 to 25. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians 12. That's the next place we're going to go to. But while I go there, listen closely. This is Mother's Day, I know that. I'm going to preach a message on God's design and nature of the woman. And the only reason I'm preaching on women first in the Bible is because Mother's Day comes before Father's Day. On Father's Day, I'm going to preach a message called this, God's Design and Nature of the Man, okay? But you say, well, you should advertise that you're preaching on women in the Bible. Do you know how many people would come to church? Not very many. I believe this morning. I have to say something like that because our society's view of what being a woman is and what being a man is so different and many times so deviant from what God's Word tells us. It's so different. It's not even close. I am not old-fashioned because the Bible has never been in fashion. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that anyone who will trust God will obey His Bible. I believe anyone who will obey God's Bible will be happier for it, and their life will be more blessed and victorious and more free if you'll obey the Bible. Jesus told us, if you continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Since the 60s, people have been marching in the streets and on college campuses shouting, the truth will make you free. But they leave out continuing in God's Word because they don't want to admit that continuing in God's Word is what makes you free. They don't want to admit what truth is. They'll say you need truth, but they don't. Okay, what is truth? Pilate asked that question to Jesus. What is truth? He was talking to truth, the Lord Jesus. Because the Bible is the truth of God, we can look at any place in the world. Now listen closely. Listen closely to what I'm getting ready to say. We can look closely at any place in the world where they try to live by any other book than the Bible as the rule of faith. And listen closely. You will always find that it's a disaster for women more than it is for men. Listen closely to what I just said. Pick any part of the world where they live by another standard other than the Bible, where the Bible has not influenced their culture, and watch how they treat the women. If you doubt me on this, go to Saudi Arabia. Women there are treated like animals. Go to any Muslim country. Go to Africa, where the women are raped by the thousands in the Muslim communities. That's all over the news over there. We don't hear it because it's not politically correct to report on Islam. But go to any part of the world where the Bible's not the standard, and it is always a disaster for the woman more than anyone else. There is nothing more beneficial to ladies than what Jesus taught us in the Bible. There is nothing more harmful on the face of this earth to ladies than an anti-biblical bias that's taught by Hollywood, humanistic schools, and sadly, it's taught by many churches today. This subject has reached such a depraved depth in our society that it's considered unscientific, listen closely, and unreasonable not to celebrate and protect by law someone who is so mentally ill that they don't even know whether they're a male or a female. All of this is done at the expense of all of the normal people and rational people in our society. Okay? This proves how desperate any nation becomes when they thumb their nose at the Bible. You can only thumb your nose at God's Word so long and it not have consequences in our society. We're watching the confusion and insanity because, well, you know, if you hold to the Bible, you're an extreme. Are you kidding me? This is the basis. It's the basis of all Western civilization. You can't read Shakespeare, the United States Constitution, or the Declaration of Independence without biblical phraseology. They were all influenced by the Bible. But, you know, now we're supposed to stay away from the Bible. Two articles this week on the news said you must stop. You must, if you read, don't read any book, don't ever read the Bible. Two articles this week. Are you kidding me? The basis of all Western civilization, what God's given us in the Word of God, and we're supposed to stay away from that. That's explained some of the hoo-hoo stuff we're watching happen in society. It's twisted. It's wicked. What makes this so dumbfounding is when a man decides he wants to identify as a woman. The first thing he does is he submits to the Bible, how the Bible says a woman's supposed to dress. Has anybody thought that through? The first thing the transgenders do and the cross-dressers do is the men go buy a dress. And the first thing, when a woman says in our society that now she wants to identify as a man, she immediately begins to put forth the biblical image of a man. And what does she do? She goes and buys a pair of pants, if she doesn't already have some. In other words, she overdresses. In other words, do you see what I'm talking about? They'll go to the biblical standard when they want to do wrong. But if you explain that to a Christian, they will fight you over it. It's amazing. In other words, that's what I call part of our insanity. So the mentally ill in our society see the biblical image of a man and a woman. But Christians who claim to know God argue that they can't see it. I think that's odd. Now, I need you to listen closely, and if you leave here and misquote me, I'll put this message on our website, but just listen to me. If someone or a group of people or a nation of people have to force others to admit that you are equal, then you're not equal. Listen, in the Bible, no one is equal. The reason that shocks everybody is because society teaches the opposite. Listen closely. In the Bible, no one is equal. There is no equality in the Bible, what we're hearing pushed. The Bible never teaches equality except, listen, in this regard, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are equally lost and on your way to hell. Then you're equal. If you know Jesus as your Savior, then you are equally saved and the recipient of everlasting life. That's the only equality that's taught in the Bible. Okay? Other than that, listen now, because by the look on some of y'all's faces, are we in church this morning? Listen closely. I do have a method to the madness. Other than that, God made every one of us unique individuals. All of us with our own peculiar set of problems and peculiar set of gifts. And the satanic idea that the aim and the goal of our society and churches and schools is to make everybody equal is resulting in insanity. You can't force equality because it can never be so. Men are not equal to women and women aren't equal to men. They are unique and different. They are not equal. Ever. And if you force that, you end up with the mess that we've got now. Well, no, you got to prove that. Women in the military, I was in the Marines. I saw the women in the field. I never saw one that I could respect. I never saw one that didn't whine about being in the field too long. I want to go back to the barracks. You don't need to be here. Go get married and bake cookies or something. I don't know. You say, you're prejudiced. They couldn't carry what we could carry on our backs. They'd all ride in the Humvee in the back on the force marches. And I felt sorry for them. I was like, isn't that sad? You know, this thing that's supposed to be, she'd be a lot happier if she'd be feminine, but she's got to, you know, bench press a Jeep like the rest of them. You know, all that stuff. It's goofy. It's goofy trash. Men and women are not equal. Now, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Watch what happens here in verse 15. God is talking to saved people within the body of Christ. So God compares the local church to a physical body. Look at verse 15. I'm going to read quickly, but watch this. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? In other words, just like your body has different members with different functions and the ear does something different than the nose, every person in the local church is put here to do something different that nobody else can do. No, we're not equal. But that doesn't mean we're inferior to each other, and I'll hit that here in just a minute. That doesn't mean just because somebody is a nose and somebody else is a tongue, wouldn't that be fun? Okay? Get to eat. I'm at every banquet. No. If somebody's a tongue, that doesn't mean that they're worse than somebody who's a nose or a finger or a toe or a knee, or everybody's needed. But nobody is equal. Everybody is just as important. But everybody serves a different function. That's what you have to see. Now watch this. Keep on reading. Look at verse 21. Verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body, it's talking about now the church, which we think to be less honorable. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts are more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but watch this. God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Look at verse 25, the purpose for it all, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You know what a healthy church does? A healthy church says, I'm here to help somebody. God put me here to do something that nobody else can do, and I need to find that before I die. And any time schisms happen in a church is because somebody says, I'm more important than you. Right? That's pride. That'll kill a church. That'll split things. We're better than them. Nobody's better than anybody. Everybody's important in the church, even those that can't do what others can do. It's what it just said. Right? That's 1 Corinthians 12. This idea that, okay, so every one of us is different. We're different because every one of us needs something that the other one can provide that we don't have within ourselves. So this idea, listen closely now, that two men are better in a relationship than a man and a woman is absolute nonsense. The idea that two women are better than a man and a woman does not work. A man is extremely different, praise God, than a woman. When two men are put together, they lack what the woman has to provide. When two women are put together, they lack what the man is to provide. This shows us that God in His wisdom and eternal design has set things up the way they should be, and we're not supposed to tamper with it, ever. But of course, our society, in the name of political correctness and all this freedom of speech garbage, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. You say, did you say this is on the nature of women? You haven't hit anything about women yet. We're getting there. We will get there, I promise, this morning. But listen, watch this. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Now this is talking about in the local church. Watch this. And He, God, verse 11, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the local church. Because no saved person is perfect or completely mature, God gave all saved people something that they could bring to the table to help everyone else go on to perfection. So if we try to make everyone be the same, and everyone do the same thing, or have the same gift in the same way, it hurts everybody. Because all of us need the talents and gifts that each of us have. All of us need them. It's sad when the church conforms itself to the world instead of expecting the world to step up if they profess to be saved. I didn't say you have to leave the world to be saved. But if you're saved, you should step up and quit being so worldly. That's a common thing. Now that you're saved, to grow, you can't continue in the world. Right? Step up. Step up. It doesn't matter now, okay? Now, for the last 50 years, the world has been striving to homogenize everything. They no longer want you to think as an American. They want you to think globally. Politically, the people pushing for equality and wealth distribution or socialism are the progressives and communists. Socially, the world has set out to make men effeminate and women masculine. It's almost like they're reversing what God did. It has now resulted in elementary schools full of boys and girls who don't know the difference between a man and a woman, even though nothing could be plainer. Nothing. Somebody said, you know, no, I don't grow a beard. I just because of the criticism, it'd probably bring a passion. But I can't think of anything more masculine that a man could do. I think a beard's great. The Bible says when they crucified Jesus, they ripped the beard out of His face. I don't have a problem with beards. I think they're great, okay? I tried growing one, and it looks too patchy and goofy, so it makes me look uglier, so I don't do it. But I personally don't have a problem with a beard. I think it's great. You know why I like beards? I like beards on men. Amen. I like beards on men because it's different from what a woman can do. Amen. It shows the difference. I like things that are different. I don't like the things where they're trying to mesh everything together. You now have lived to see the day when all the great institutions of our society that made you prosperous and safe have now become irrational and incapable, because the highest mark now and the highest standard in our society is now emotion, not fact. It no longer matters what was said. What matters is how they said it. It's not important what legislation does. It only matters how they make you feel. It doesn't matter what the preacher taught from the Bible and how it's worked for 6,000 years of human history. What matters is how it affected you emotionally, what he said. Blech. What ought to matter to every Christian is the church I go to. Do they preach the Bible? Not how do they make me feel. Do they rub my back when I walk through the door? And, oh, you've had a rough week. Oh, here, go see our therapist over there. And bleh. That's the garbage we're living in. It's garbage. It's amazed me how the women who run for office, any office, senator, representatives, president, any woman who runs for office appeals to the emotions of society. Ask any of them how we're going to pay our $21 trillion debt, and they immediately respond with, how does that legislation make the homeless man feel? If we don't have money to pay for the homeless man, why are we giving money? If we don't have money to be overseas, why are we doing... If we don't have... In other words, the old statement goes like this. If you don't have money, then you're not supposed to be going in debt over it. But all because of, well, what are they going to think? And what are they going to... Here's another question. Ask any of the gun control advocates about how does removing weapons from law-abiding citizens prevent criminals from getting weapons to hurt people? And they immediately respond with pictures of dead children from school shootings to play on your emotions. They don't ever answer the question. It's always an emotional roller coaster. See, where are you going with this? Nowadays, it's not the job of preachers to stand in the pulpit and proclaim the word, but the word of God, but now they're supposed to carefully and cautiously evaluate how it's going to make the people feel, which is garbage. And people expect a pastor now to have an effeminate voice appealing to emotion instead of a man of God standing up and proclaiming. Can you imagine in that type of voice, thus saith the Lord, God tells us in the Bible. It's goofy. It's goofy, effeminate trash. And watch this. No real man can stand that. No real man could hear a woman preach. That's how come the women preachers draw women in the churches and they repels men. No man wants a woman telling him what to do. Amen. That's natural. I don't know where that came from, but that God put it in there. Amen. Okay, now, watch this. If I took you to... We read Genesis 2 this morning. Genesis 3 is the fall of Adam and Eve. And it says they heard when they fell. They've made themselves aprons. They knew they were naked. And they heard the voice of God, the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And then Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. So what does sin always make you do? It makes you run from God. Never, never running towards the one that could help you. God doesn't like me and I'm not worthy. Sin causes guilt. It's been that way since Adam and Eve, and it causes you to run from God and hide from God instead of running to God who can help you. The result of Eve's sin was the loss of the best life any woman has ever known. Listen closely. No one has ever had it as good as Eve. No one was ever safer or more comfortable. And watch this. She had the best man on earth for a husband. You say he was the only man. I know, he was the best man. He was the best man. When the serpent found Eve, he found her feeling left out, like she had gotten the short end of the stick. He played on her emotions as something that she didn't have, had been kept back from her. He found her questioning and resenting the authority God had placed over her, And all of this happened before she sinned. Before she sinned. God said they could eat of every tree in the garden except one, and she questioned, how come I can't eat of that one? Isn't that what God told him? You can have any tree in the, except one. Well, how come I can't have that one? How come you can't enjoy all the rest of the trees? It's like the kid saying, you know, there's no dessert tonight. How come there's no dessert? Because I made so much other food for you. Does a kid ever say, no dessert, Mom? Really? Thanks for cooking. No. Do you know why? Because it's not in us. We're always looking at what we don't have or can't have. Eve was doing the same thing. You can eat of any tree in the garden except one. How come I can't eat of that one? For the same reason. Listen closely now. There are only three commandments given to the woman in the New Testament. Did you hear what I just said? From Matthew to Revelation. There's three commandments given to the woman. And when the preacher preaches them, it causes such hate and dissension than all the rest of the commandments combined. How about, ladies, just for this morning, and honestly, I don't know of anybody that's upset this morning. It's Mother's Day, and I wanted to preach a message for women and women in the Bible, and I wanted to hit this topic and to help us, because our society is so goofy, you know what I mean? So messed up. But, ladies, how about praising God you're not Mormon? Mormons teach if you go to paradise, you get to be eternally pregnant. Isn't that a blessing? Blech! Are you kidding me? How come you can't praise God? You're an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ when you get saved. Instead, I've heard ladies gripe about it. How come a woman can't be a preacher? There's only two limitations. There's three commandments in the New Testament for a lady. There's two limitations given to a woman in the New Testament church. She can't be a deacon and she can't preach. Can't be a pastor. That's 1 Timothy 2 and 3. You can read it yourself in there. Okay? Revelation 2:20 says, thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach. God never called a woman to preach in the Bible. Not one time. Not one time. Joyce Myers is a Jezebel. I think the ladies should be praising God that they're not Muslim this morning, where they have to wear a habib over their face and can't be... Did you know over in the Middle East, a woman can't be taught to read or write? This stuff that's going on in Texas, that stinking, that nasty Islamic woman that stands up and says, Islam would be help to America. No, ladies, she didn't tell you that they're not allowed to read and write over in the Middle East. She didn't tell you they're not allowed to get a driver's license. She didn't tell you over in the Middle East an Islamic woman cannot go to the store without a escort. Over in the Middle East, if a woman gets raped, she is put to death. They don't tell you that. Islam would be so good for America. I don't want anything Islamic in America. But they play, oh, women are treated so well. You've been lied to, all right? Let's go back here. God did everything, listen closely, God did everything for Eve that he did for Adam. And yet Eve still felt cheated. And in a society where you're free, and in a religion where you're free, and in a life given you by Jesus Christ where you're free, you're going to have to battle spirituality in your heart, spiritually in your mind and heart, always with a feeling of resentment and a feeling that you're being cheated and feeling that the best part has been kept back from you. You say, where'd you learn that from? I learned that from the Bible. Did you know women are naturally insecure? They get their security from God and from the man in their life. And if they don't have a man in their life, then their dad, amen, or some authority they get security from. That's the way God made them. Look, God made Adam first and Eve second. That tells me this. The woman is the responder. She's never supposed to be the leader. She's never supposed to be the leader. And watch that. That's not a chauvinistic statement. You just don't hear that in the world. You will find that when you read your Bible. But our society is so kooky. I'll make some more statements about this here in just a second. You see, the devil can use a woman's insecurity to turn her against God. Adam's curse is three verses long. The woman's curse is one verse long in Genesis 3. Let me read you the curse. Ready? Here's God's curse to the woman. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Her tendency will always be to be independent and want independence of the man, and she wants his curses instead of her dependency upon him with her curse. Why would a woman do this? To declare that she's equal to the man when she's not. You say, you're misogynistic. What a stupid word, too. I had to look that up when I first heard it. You know what I mean? Misogynistic. Woman hater and all that other stuff. That you only find that in the wicked world and up there in Washington, D.C. The woman has a God-given role. And he, the man, has a God-given role. And they're very different. Men and women think differently. They have different abilities. How about this? A woman outlives a man 10 to 15 years. That's pretty common statistic. Women outlive men. Now, I realize some men die early, but most women outlive their husbands 10 to 15 years. That's statistic. I think that's a plus, you know. I heard a parent here when I first got here. She let her boy play with Barbie dolls. Boys don't play with Barbie dolls. Boys play with army men in the sand and get dirty and take dad's, you know, fluid and pour it on them and light them on fire. That's what boys do. Boys play army. Boys play king on the mountain. Girls play with Barbie dolls. But I heard one mother, this was quite a while in the church, my boy plays with Barbie dolls. I was like, wow, you're going to make him a queer if you aren't careful. I didn't say that because I'm a pastor. Amen. Inside voices, outside voices. But I watched and I thought, wow, you really let your boy play with Barbie dolls. Don't let him wiggle when he walks. We live in a weird society. It is the nature of the man to gather facts and then draw the conclusion and make the necessary decision. For instance, our son has wrecked 3 cars, blows every dollar he gets, he's irresponsible and can't hold a job. Therefore, I'm not giving him another dollar. Then the mother says, that would be so mean. Aren't we supposed to love him? Okay, there's nothing wrong with a dad saying what he said, and there's nothing wrong with a mom saying what she just said. That's a mom being a mom, right? I'd almost be shocked if a mom didn't say that. I expect a mom to be a mom. But there's two distinctive approaches to life. There's the male approach and the female approach. The male says, illegal aliens are infiltrating our society. The Muslims are coming over here. They're trying to hurt us. We better bomb everything they've got before they hurt us. The woman says, what would the other nations think of us? They will think we're mean. Two different ways of thinking. Men and women don't think the same, and I'm glad they don't. I'm not saying that a woman can't reason. I'm not saying that a man doesn't have emotion. I'm talking about the main instinctive motivating factor when making a decision is the woman deals with emotion and the man deals with reason. The man says this. Here's what we need to do based upon A, B, C, and D. But the woman says, you know, that would look good in my living room. Let's buy it. I saw a video on how to fix that. And the man goes, but we already have a garage full of things that need to be fixed. Okay? You got two different ways of thinking. I'm not being mean this morning. What I'm trying to point out is what used to be obvious. I don't want my wife to think or act like a man. I want my wife to think like a lady and a woman. I need that. Do you understand? I need that. I need her reminding me, hon, I need her. Do you understand? She needs me. But she doesn't need me to be like her. And I don't need her to think like me. I need the difference. That's why God puts a husband and wife together. Not so, why would you just think like I would think? No, you don't either. Okay? Can you go to 1 Corinthians 11? Go to 1 Corinthians 11. You're in Ephesians. Go to 1 Corinthians. Go back a couple of books. We're just going to go to a few more places this morning, and then I'll... 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Watch this. I've already made this statement, but you need to see it in the Bible. I don't like watching our society get away from the Bible. I think there's severe, hurtful consequences that come because of this. But watch this. 1 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, or the authority. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Our society hates this verse, but it's always been in God's Word and it's always been true. Christ, watch this. If it says God is the head of Christ, it's not saying that Christ is inferior to God. He is God. But one had to demand a sacrifice and one had to be the sacrifice. So they played two different roles, being the same person. But Christ is the head of God, not inferior, not this way. Somebody had to call the shots in the Trinity, so that's how God worded it so we could relate to it. But to say the head of the woman is the man is not saying that she's inferior any more than Christ is inferior to God. I wanted to point that out. Okay, now listen closely. The woman shows her spirituality when she accepts her God-given role by assignment so the work can get done. This is what makes a single-parent home so difficult. And I know there's more, now in our society, there's more single-parent homes than there are double-parent homes because of how our society has gotten away from the Bible. So this morning, there are more single-parent homes in our church than there are double-parents. So I'm not preaching against single-parent homes this morning. Just listen closely. What makes a single-parent home so difficult? It's difficult. If the father isn't there, or if the mother isn't there, then a daycare worker or a television set becomes the replacement for the missing element. That explains then our society and why it is so messed up. To raise someone, a child, who is both rational and has the right emotions, takes a father and a mother. They need the emotion. They need the rationality. It's not that they're fine. No, they need both. If you remove the father or the mother, you end up with a society of 17, 18, and 19-year-olds who are governed by their emotions and they can't reason and deal with life, so you medicate them and then entertain them around the clock. And if that doesn't describe Berkeley University college students, I don't know what does. Have you seen those animals? Watch. Why is this happening in our society? What's going on? You cannot disrupt God's model. Do you understand? You cannot alter it and say, well, what God designed is one thing, but we don't need that. We're going to do it this way. And expect things to turn out right. They don't. And it is wreaking havoc and I think insanity on our society. Watch this. What do you end up having? You have 2 Timothy 3, perilous times. Where men are now lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Saw that one trial on the patricide. Did you know patricide or the murder of parents? Did you know the word patricide is only about 20 years old? It didn't exist 20 years ago. Kids killing their parents? They had to invent that word. What do you call it when a child, I saw the news article, two boys killed their sisters and their parents. And then, you know, that's happened like 4 years ago and now they're just now going to jail. What do you call it when a child kills the parents? Where'd that come from? A society that's getting away from the Bible. And I don't want it to happen more, but it's going to happen more as we get further away from the Bible. It's getting sick. And I'm trying to tell you why. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So now we have a society that'll spend money on entertainment, but they won't spend money on church. They'll skip church for amusement, but they'll never skip amusement for church. Their celebrities, or the people they celebrate, aren't preachers of the Word of God. They're filthy, disgusting, degenerate, socialistic God-haters. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Would you take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 3? How in the world can people like the Kardashians and the Jenners and Paris Hilton and Madonna and Hillary Clinton and Lady Gag, how can those people be heroes when they brag about making movies of themselves fornicating and putting it on the internet and that's their claim to fame? When I was growing up, it was astronauts, it was people that achieved things for society. Those were heroes, not fornicators. Not wicked people who bragged about. It's totally reversed. It's totally reversed. And it's sad to watch our children have nasty people for heroes. You're going to 1 Peter chapter 3. Since God sent His only begotten Son to die for your sins, can I just remind you this morning, you can trust His Word. And I know this, God's Word will never hurt your life or your family. Never. Never. 1 Peter chapter 3, watch this. Likewise, verse number 1, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the Word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Why they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Can I just say this too about single parent homes? You know a lot of good preachers have been reared in single parent homes? Do you want me to name a few? Jack Hiles didn't have a dad. Do you know how it worked? The mom compensated. In other words, if they understand that, then she got him around men, right? Work with him, work with him. This is good. Get around men. Single-parent homes have reared godly people. You understand? I didn't say it was impossible. I said it's what makes it so difficult. Okay? I want you to understand that. I'm not preaching against single-parent homes. I do want you to see the complication. Look at verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that of the outward adorning or plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Look at verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Watch this. It amazes women who don't trust God that God would want them to be subject to their husbands. Women are afraid to obey the Bible. Well, what would happen if I obeyed God? Well, the same thing that happened when you trusted Jesus to take you to heaven. He gave you eternal life. And the same thing will happen if you trust God again. He'll help your life. The same thing that happened when you got saved. You can trust God. You can trust His Word. Look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. I don't find anywhere in the Bible. Did you know in the Quran, a man can beat his wife? That's been in several court cases. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where a man is told to hurt his wife. Husbands, love your wives. Dwell with them according to knowledge. In this verse here, giving them honor as the weaker vessel. No, the Quran and Christianity are totally separate. There is nothing similar. A man's never supposed to beat his wife or hurt his wife. God says in verse 7, you hurt her and you won't get your prayers answered. God will judge you based on how you better not mistreat her. She's the weaker vessel, and she needs to be treated as so. You respect her. You help her. Don't put a load on her. You don't hurt her. Watch this. God isn't teaching anybody how to be a slave. God teaches the woman how to live so that the wife can be the subject of her husband's study. If she subjects herself to him, then he becomes the subject of her study. And then what say? Dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Study her. Deuteronomy 24 says, study the wife. Find out what makes her happy. I do find that in the Bible. A husband is supposed to study her. He'll never totally figure her out. Amen? But that's the fun part of marriage. But he is supposed to say, what is she like? What's her favorite color? How does she like to, you know, study her. What makes and how to cheer her up. That's Bible Christianity, not abuse. I don't find any abuse in the Bible. Let's go to, you know what? Let's do one more thing. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. You say, Pastor, it's Mother's Day and you're supposed to preach a message on, you gave out flowers and we all need to leave here smelling sweet. So do something about the baby in the crib and something with motherhood, and we'll do that some other time. Amen? Okay? You say, why would you preach a message like this? When I read in the Bible, I don't find God telling me how wonderful I am. I find God telling me, you're a sinner and you need to get saved. And I read in Romans chapter 7, I find in me that there dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing good in me. The only good thing about me is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know when I'm a success? When He works through me. And when I'm less like me and more like Him. Well, this message, I'm going to point out some negatives about the woman. To do what? Not hurt her. but to say, look, every one of us need God, right? I don't need to have such a wonderful view of myself that I Christianize everything that I do because I did it. No, I need to see myself like God sees me so I can need Him. All right? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Watch this. I'm going to point out some things, and you can look at the rest of this, but I'm going to read real quickly. Look at verse 22. Wives, if you underline three things in here, ready? Wives, underline the word submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Underline the word submit unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the woman is the head of the wife. I'm sorry, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is, one more S word, subject. Do you see verse 24? Therefore, as the church is, underline the word subject, unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church. Isn't it funny? You don't find where a wife is told to love her husband. You do find several times where it says, husbands, love her. Love your wife. You do find that several times in the Bible. Keep on going here. Watch this. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Look down to verse 33. One more word to underline. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she, one more word, underline the word reverence her husband. In this whole passage, there's three words that the wife is told to do to the husband. Submit, subject, and reverence. The husband has all the rest of the responsibilities. And there's 13 or 15 there, depending on how you count them. God puts less weight on the woman. Tells her to do three things. The husband is supposed to do the rest of it for her. I don't find anything chauvinistic in the Bible. I find, you know how come I watch a lot of marriages break up? I've watched a lot of good ladies be hurt. And it wasn't her fault. He was a slug. He was a punk. And he hurt her. I didn't say every divorce is his fault. I said I've seen it, though, where a lot of good ladies went into it working hard, and he was a jerk. And I've seen it the other way, too. But what I'm trying to drive home this morning is there's more weight on the husband than there is the wife. God tells the wife three things. He tells the husband a whole list of things that are supposed to be done. If that marriage is going to be what God designed, it's the husband. That's how come in Song of Solomon, what's a marriage called? A garden. What's a garden take? Work. Hoeing and weeding and pulling and burning. Yeah, it takes work. Let anything go by itself and it goes downhill. It goes downhill. Let me close with this. With a society that looks down on motherhood and being a stay-at-home mom, because it's better for the wife if she has her own career. Our homes suffer because of it. And our society suffers, and our churches suffer. We don't need a nation that's 100% men. Nor do we need a nation that is 100% women. If we believe God's word, then the men should be men and the ladies should be ladies. And when you study the woman in the Word of God, Rebecca found a way to deceive her husband to get her favorite son the blessing and inheritance. Jochebed, Moses' mom, found a way to get her son, baby Moses, past the executioners. Rahab hid the spies and covered their tracks, and Herod's brother's wife was immoral in her husband's absence. The woman by nature is subtle and beguiling in practical matters. The nature of the woman causes her to plot and scheme what she cannot have by legitimate means. I have met Christian women who were not taught by their husbands, and because they were seeking to grow spiritually, okay, they weren't seeking to grow. They weren't taught by their husbands, and they didn't want what was spiritual. They amazed me with the deceitfulness and their manipulation. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 is devoted to the prostitute. There is a subtle and deceptive power that God has given the woman over the man. I wish every woman understood that. When the woman gives into it and the man gives into it, just like in the Garden of Eden, then they're both the worse for it. The wife has to be so careful that she doesn't manipulate the husband into giving her the control of the home, or it'll cost her her children. When God describes the one world religion that'll be destroyed when Jesus comes back, God doesn't call it the false prophet or the imam or the caliphate. He calls it Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. Spiritually, the man and the woman are equal, with two Bible limitations on positions that can be held in the church. Physically, the man and the woman are not equal. That's known all around the world. And emotionally, they're very different. Where the Bible is believed, men take their place and women take their place, and everybody's happier. And the further you get from the Bible, the more you descend into what America has now become. The insult to a woman should never be what the Bible says, but it should be every voice that tells you to disobey and disbelieve the Word of God. Amen. The Whoopi Goldbergs and the Rosie O'Donnells are your enemies. They aren't here to help anybody. They're just trying to turn you against God. And they've got quite a following. This morning, as your pastor, I'd like to say, trust God and know that God's way is the best way. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for, Lord, please, when our society is so different, and Lord, things are different than they used to be.